December 28, 1986. Not an ordinary day. In 2012, Washington Post editor Gene Weingarten pulled off unique stunts to uncover compelling stories. Renowned violinist Joshua Bell played near a DC Metro stop, revealing how passersby responded to his music amid the rush. Five writers created gripping tales by randomly choosing subjects from a phone book, promoting active learning from unconventional encounters. Weingarten randomly picked a day to explore events in the U.S., writing a book to reveal the uniqueness of ordinary days. His goal was to show that each day is full of diverse stories, like a small world representing all the elements of human drama. Weingarten and his editor used 64 slips, with months, days, and years, for three strangers to draw at an oyster house. The result, December 28, 1986, highlighted the ultimate slow news day, a Sunday between Christmas and New Year's Day. This simple process showed the power of random selection in uncovering unique stories. On December 28, 1986, Weingarten experienced a day with diverse events, including a heart transplant success, tragic house fires, a humorous start to a lifelong love story, and the discovery of a murder. The day concluded with the Grateful Dead performing Black Peter in Oakland, California. This shows how life is blending moments of joy and sorrow, making it a day to reflect on and learn from. Nebraska's tragic tale of courage and sacrifice. News outlets reported on a house fire in Falls City, Nebraska, during a slow news period, simplifying the story to three deaths, two young children and Todd Trana, a 19-year-old labeled incorrectly as a babysitter. In reality, Todd lived with Becky Gill, age 20, the mother of the two children who died. Trana, previously troubled, began transforming his life after his parents' divorce at age 11. Relocated to his uncle's farm in Falls City, he faced legal trouble post-high school with two drunk driving arrests, leading to a 30-day jail term. During this challenging period, he met Becky Gill, moved in with her, and wholeheartedly cared for her young children, Savannah, age 1, and Tony, age 2. Trana spent Christmas with his mother and brothers in Lincoln before returning to Fall City. Firefighters suspected a macrame-decorated lamp, a gift from his mother, caused a fire in his house. Despite toxic smoke filling the home, Trana rushed to save Becky's children, grabbing Savannah first. Carrying her, he collapsed while heading towards Tony's bed, eventually succumbing to the smoke and sacrificing himself for the children's safety. Few knew at the time, but Becky Gill was pregnant with Todd Thrain's child. Today, their son Mark Gill resides in Colorado. As a child, he moved there with his mother and stepfather, eventually building greenhouses for marijuana farmers. Before this, he worked as an operations manager for a garden supply company and took part in bank robberies with his friend to fund drug habits, successfully escaping with over $1,000 in one heist. Gill's criminal activities led to a 7-year prison sentence before he turned his life around. After serving time in prison, it seemed like he had turned his life around. He held a steady job, and his boss praised his efforts. However, when Weingarten checked in one last time, Gill was facing unspecified legal issues. Robbery brings conclusion to campus political conflict in Rhode Island. A daring robbery at the Rhode Island Liberal Arts College ended a campus conflict, highlighting the need for active engagement and vigilance to promote positive change in educational settings. In 1986, Professor Kevin Jordan received an old weather vane as a gift. The copper vane, showing a Native American archer, possibly Metacomet, a 17th-century Wampanoag chief, was from the late 1800s. Knowing its value, Jordan had to figure out a safe way to display it without attracting thieves who targeted valuable vanes on the black market. They might climb buildings or use helicopters to steal such valuable items. The restored barn, serving as the campus performing arts center, housed an antique weather vane on its roof to prevent theft. The cupola, previously stripped of its vane by thieves in the 1970s, became the vane's new secure spot. However, a deeper debate ensued among faculty members, rooted in the 1960s ethos, questioning the weather vane's placement as a potential case of cultural appropriation. The dilemma unfolded as the college community grappled with whether the vane, portraying a Native American archer, insulted the indigenous people, colonists had fatally shot Metacomet, not too distant from the present college campus, or served as a belated apology for historical injustices. The debate achieved little beyond making the vein famous in the media, including the New York Times. Reports highlighted its value, estimated between $75,000 and $150,000, and detailed Professor Jordan's anti-theft measures. Thieves struck in the early hours, bypassing precautions, and stole the Metacomet weather vane, resolving the college's philosophical dispute but incurring a substantial financial cost. Murder shatters the Indiana community. In Winslow, Indiana, Pastor Kern Quackenbush opened his door to find Tayana Ruppel, 16, and her boyfriend David Hughes, 20. Ruppel, concerned about her missing parents since Friday, sought the pastor's help. Quackenbush, surprised by the unexplained disappearance of the parents known for their routine, had not heard from them, and their cars were still at home without any note or call. Quackenbush's wife, Velda, alarmed in the kitchen, knew of the conflict between Gail Ruppel and her husband. Tayana sought to marry Hughes, causing tension. Police questioned Tayana and Hughes, who denied involvement. In 1988, Tayana Ruppel received an 8-year sentence for her involvement in her parents' murders, while David Hughes was sentenced to 2 concurrent 60-year terms for the execution-style killings. Despite Tayana's claim of fear leading to her involvement, evidence suggests she was the mastermind behind the plot. Hughes revealed during police interrogations that Tayana had urged him twice to kill her parents. On the night of the murders, Hughes entered the house through an unlocked door Tayana left for him, shooting Gail Ruppel in the head. Police believe Tayana lured her father outside with a note, intending to disarm him for Hughes' attack. Residents found Gail and Mike Ruppel's bodies in a mining pit. Tayana now works at Veterans Affairs, and Hughes got parole in 2015. The Quackenbushes faced gossip, alleging Kern's involvement, resulting in a church reassignment to mitigate speculation. The Soviets achieved PR success in New York. In New York, the Soviets achieved a public relations triumph on December 28. Around 50 Russian émigrés who had left the Soviet Union years ago gathered at JFK Airport. Despite the Soviet government usually rejecting return requests, they approved most on the same day, arranging for the returnees to share a flight. Alerting the media, the returnees shared their disenchantment with American life. The Clever family, including Valerie, his wife Lydia, and their children Karina and Nikita, spoke to American reporters upon arriving at Moscow's Sheremetyevo International Airport. Valerie, a renowned Russian artist and nonconformism member, faced challenges exhibiting his paintings due to their critical depiction of the Soviet state. One example was a portrait of Stalin with blood oozing from a tooth. The authorities confiscated or destroyed Clever's pieces whenever they discovered them. In 1977, the Clevers, along with around 100 dissidents, were sent to Vienna by Soviet officials. Settling in Brooklyn, they found financial challenges in the dog-eat-dog nature of U.S. economic life by 1986. Hoping for a better financial situation, they considered returning to Russia amid Mikhail Gorbachev's glasnost reforms. A quest for home amidst changing lands. Karina Clever, who turned 16 when the family left New York, is now 49, residing in Los Angeles with a 6-figure income as an IT consultant. The Clevers, returning to the U.S. after only 5.5 months in Russia, faced challenges, with 15 others from the 1986 flight also returning. Life in the Soviet Union proved harder after experiencing American comforts, dealing with scarce jobs, limited food, and shared living conditions. The government offered Russian citizenship only if they renounced their U.S. citizenship, leading the Clevers to return to the U.S., leaving behind the one ordinary day, December 28, 1986. Key points. 1. Exploring hidden stories in ordinary days teaches us to appreciate the richness of everyday life. 2. Acts of love and sacrifice inspire us to reflect on the impact of our relationships and actions. 3. Cultural debates prompt us to consider diverse perspectives and promote understanding in our interactions. 4. Understanding the consequences of unresolved conflicts encourages us to prioritize healthy relationships and effective communication. 5. Immigrant experiences highlight the challenges of adaptation and the pursuit of a better life, promoting empathy and resilience. 6. Probing the concept of home teaches us the importance of adaptability and finding comfort within ourselves.